Good morning. I call to order this meeting of the, this 1,342nd meeting of the Board of Directors of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. The date is June 25th, 2009, and it's 11:00 a.m. Excuse me, it's 11:25 a.m. We have, as our first order of business, public comment. Mr. General Manager, do we have public comment? All right.
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, then we have our agendas before us. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second?
Mr. Chair.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Mr. Albert?
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to add an executive session on our agenda to discuss contractual matters.
Okay. Without objection, is there objection to adding an executive session? We had the prospect of an executive session to discuss contractual and personnel matters. And at the appropriate point of the agenda, I was going to move that. And so, but that's fine. That's fine. There's no objection to contemplating an executive session. Is there further discussion on the agenda? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. We have before us three sets of minutes. We have the May 28th, 2009 board meeting, the June 18th, 2009 special board meeting, and the June 22nd, 2009 special board meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin and seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. And all of those minutes are approved. We now proceed to our report from our Riders Advisory Council. Ms. Zinkel is here. Would you come forward, please, and present your report?
Thank you very much, Chairman Graham and members of the board. I'm pleased to be here to present you with the Riders Advisory Council report for June 2009. First of all, let me please add my deepest sympathies and on behalf of not just myself but the entire RIC to the victims and families of Monday's horrible tragedy. Our thoughts are with them. Moving on to the text of my report, At our June meeting earlier this month, the Council received presentations on three aspects of Metro's interface with riders and communities. Tom Harrington and Scotty Borders of WMATA presented, along with Eric Gilliland, the Executive Director of the Washington Area Bicyclists Association, on a number of pedestrian, bicycle, and bus stop design issues. The Council's questions for these presenters raised a number of issues regarding regarding bus information and pedestrian and bicycle access. Members inquired how Metro coordinates with member jurisdictions on these issues and the benefits of having dedicated staff assigned to work particularly on pedestrian and bicycle coordination with local jurisdictions, how bus stop information will integrate with NextBus and the new express service, and made suggestions for adding information on significant mid-route destinations to bus stop information, and asked questions about escalator and elevator outages and how they affect bicycle access as well as potential options for improving bicycle access. In addition, as riders, members of the Council are extremely appreciative of all the work that the Board and Metro staff put into the 2010 budget, and we are very much pleased to hear that the Board is looking to have a 2011 budget process that will allow for broader dialogue, earlier and broader dialogue with the public in developing that budget. We find these actions by the board heartening, particularly in light of some of the suggestions we made in our April 23rd letter regarding the 2010 budget process. We look forward to working with the board on these issues in the fall and hopeful that this public dialogue will advance how Metro can meet the challenges it will face next year. In addition, our working groups have continued to make progress on a number of issues. Our customer standards service working group met again to begin discussions of the organization of the proposed customer service standards. We have developed some initial suggestions, and we'll be working with the folks behind those customer service standards to get feedback on our suggestions. In addition, we have also decided to form a governance working group, particularly in light of the requirement that our bylaws be reviewed and updated by the board in about a year and a half. We hope to have some suggestions that you can either, as you will, take or leave, as you do with all of our suggestions. And in addition, Susan Holland, who is both a member of the RAC and the AAC, provided an update on some work that the AAC has done on trying to make Metro more friendly to individuals who are Metro Access eligible and help them be more comfortable using the system, which is a combination of making some structural changes to the system, which the authority has been doing, but also making sure that those folks understand how to use the system. So that's something that the AAC has been working on, and you know, the RAC was very happy to hear about. And last, I regret to inform the board that two members, Robin White and representing Fairfax County, and Laura Rout representing Montgomery County, resigned their RAC positions. They will both be missed, and we look forward to the board appointing some new members and bringing us some new friends. That concludes my report, and I will now answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zinkel. Are there questions or comments for the RAC? Questions or comments? Thank you very much for your report.
Okay.
Chairman's report. Let me say that a great tragedy has befallen this system. And amidst all of the profound tensions and challenges of this tragedy, Metro WMATA must continue to act to maintain and preserve this fine system of public transportation. First, let me again express our deep sadness about the human loss and the human injury that has occurred. The loss of our own employee, the loss of eight other persons, the dozens of people who were injured as part of this accident are very much in our minds, in our thoughts, and in our prayers. We are determined to address the issues that we are now confronted by. And we are certainly determined to respond to the human needs that have immediately arisen. As evidence of that determination, this board, in a special meeting 2 days ago, established an emergency hardship relief fund and has granted to the general manager broad discretion in terms of the distribution of these monies up to the amount of $250,000 to relieve immediate human circumstances. Now, let me emphasize, we have nothing in mind in terms of settlement of legal claims. As one of the lawyers on this panel, I'm fully aware of the fact that such claims may or may not arise and will arise, but this has nothing to do with any of that. This is simply stating that we recognize immediate human needs to which we can respond and which this board wishes to respond to. We pledge 100% cooperation to the National Transportation Safety Board in its important work in determining the cause of this particular collision. We recognize that there is great public demand for information, and that at every turn, I know the members of this board, and I can speak to my own experience here, you know, are asked question after question after question, what happened, how do we correct it, what is going on with this issue or that issue. All of this is manifest at this time. However, I believe that it is very important that we gather and determine the facts of this particular collision and at the appropriate time release those facts. And that means that the NTSB, Metro WMATA, and every other stakeholder involved in this restrain from putting out piecemeal information, supposition, theory, possibilities, and that instead we await the definitive judgments which we need to make. Now, I hope that the National Transportation Safety Board will do this as expeditiously as possible. The other day, there was a suggestion by one member of the board that it would take a year. I hope that we can get something more definitive and conclusory before that time. But we are not served by supposition and speculation. And this board needs more than that. Why? Because we cannot take a passive role here. We cannot simply say, somebody else is figuring all this out. Let us know when you get to the conclusions. Because we have to act immediately in terms of making sure that the steps that we take now through our highly able staff and our very, very talented and dedicated general manager, that we act immediately to make sure this doesn't occur again. And it would be, what a tragedy it would be if we didn't take immediate steps. And that is why the day after this, we went to manual operation of the trains. And that is why we are considering a range of options in terms of immediate action on the 1000 series cars. That is why we are looking at the technological and equipment issues to determine what steps we should take immediately. And that is not to say that we are going to become the determiners of the cause of this accident. It is to say that we have to meet our responsibilities to the riding public on an immediate basis. And on a short and long-term basis, we renew our commitment to the replacement of the 1000 series cars. This board has again and again and again recognized that need. But we have also recognized ways in which we can avoid collisions to begin with, so that we avoid the specter of having this telescoping, collapse of our cars. But we are very encouraged at this point by actions by Congress, which in terms of being true to the promise that was made last December when the funds were authorized for dedicated funding, the promise by Congress to actually appropriate the money. And each of our jurisdictions, most definitely including the District of Columbia, have made the way clear for that to happen. We have agreed to compact amendments. In some cases, we have agreed to compact amendments that we might not necessarily embrace, because we wanted to get on with this business of dedicated funding. And that's why the legislature in the Commonwealth of Virginia and the state of Maryland on our own DC council, in my case, have cleared the way for the dedicated funding to operate, because there was a higher purpose involved here, and we were not going to quibble over compact amendments. And so within a period of weeks, all of that was done. We are also encouraged by the fact that our efforts by our general manager and our staff to reach out to the Department of Transportation to see if there isn't stimulus dollars available to replace these 1000 series cars. And we are certainly pleased that we have an RFP that has gone out, bids have been received. We could act very quickly if the funding was available. So there is much to be grateful for, even in the midst of this profound tragedy, in terms of how we are acting. And I believe that we are acting responsibly under what many would describe as the worst of circumstances. I would close by saying this. I hope that we are all able to avoid the finger pointing, indeed what could be a feeding frenzy, in terms of attaching various statements to this particular tragedy. I hope and I commit on my part, and I know I'm speaking for every member of this board, that we are determined to have this all operate at a very high level of responsibility. And we are determined to do that. We're going to do it today. We did it the day of, and we will do it every day going forward, to make sure that we have found the solutions that we need, that we put those solutions in place, that we gather whatever resources we need to actually make all of this occur. And so I hope that this will be the future for this issue, And we, and I, and I'm sure this board is committed to that course of action. So with that said, that concludes my report, and we now proceed to the report by the general manager, Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That best stated any comments I was going to make concerning the events of this past Monday. Even though the events of the week have overtaken much of our work and much of our time, it's important to remember that Metro is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operation that does not stop. We're still moving people, and we're still making improvements to our services every day. And the operations meeting that came before this meeting, we talked about the next bus. Now I'd like to talk about our plans for July 4th. I'd just like to take a few minutes again to explain that that for many years, as you know, we have authorized extremely large numbers of staff to support those who are providing the operations, bus operators, rail operators, mechanics, and technicians for the 4th of July. Those support staff levels come at a significant cost, particularly in overtime. Last year, we started to take a critical look at the supporting staff levels, and we realized that we had years and years of experience in moving people in large crowds for special occasions. Over the past 14 months or so, we had the home opener of the Nationals Park, followed by many other events, including the biggest inauguration this town has ever seen. And Metro provided exceptional service at each of these events. And through it all, we came to understand that we have a seasoned staff that understands how to move people. Last 4th of July, we experimented with right-sizing our support staffing levels and working on those costs and reducing them. And we discovered that our service went on and occurred without a hitch. So this year, we expect to provide the same level of stellar service, but customers are going to see something new. For the first time in many years, July 4th's rail service will not have a special route. For many years, we ran special services over the yellow line, and we created special maps that had to be printed and installed at every station and in every rail car. We printed brochures to illustrate the changes in service. All of this came at a cost of at least several hundred thousand dollars. Now this year, we will operate services on all lines without any special deviations. And this is because we have increased the number of 8-car trains, and we have increased the number of rail cars during the peak demand period. In addition to that, the Smithsonian Station will be open, and each of its exits available for customers' use. As a reminder, though, I'd like to remind the public that no bicycles will be allowed in the system on July 4th. Even with the extra rail cars, we expect the system to be very crowded following the fireworks, just like the inauguration. We're asking our customers to be patient as they enter the rail stations. Mr. Chairman, in spite of the events that occurred this Monday, we're moving forward, and we're ready to provide stellar service for this upcoming Independence Day celebration with the changes that I mentioned. In addition, we've made another change to our operations. Effective this past 2 days, the 6-car trains that we operate within our rail system will be stopping at the 8-car mark. And what does that mean? That means that all 6 or 8-car trains will be stopping at the end of the platform to accommodate our customers. We're doing this because, again, we're taking a hard look at rail safety, and after feedback from many people, from our employees, from our rail operators, and others, we've decided to go ahead and implement this safety precaution. It will require some changes in our customers, but based upon the operations in the past 2 days, they have quickly learned exactly where to move on the platform. In addition, in light of the tragedy, and as always, Metro's focus has been on safety. And we not only will continue to focus, we will renew that focus. And so it is more important than ever that we take the time to recognize those employees who have performed their jobs in a safe manner. And I'm asked the Deputy General Manager, Gerald Francis, to highlight the rising star attendees who again have demonstrated exceptional service.
Thank you, Mr. Cahill. If I can have you, Mr. Graham, you can come to the center of the room. This month, we recognize the recipients of the Rising Star Awards. These employees have each demonstrated excellent customer service, both internally and externally, and have taken a significant safety precaution to ensure the well-being of passengers and their fellow employees. They exemplify a consistent commitment to safety and have no preventable accidents. These employees have been recognized by peers and superiors for performing outstanding service and promoting the safety and security of both customers and employees. So the Rising Star Awards will go to the following employees: Brian Smith, Robert Johnson, Stanley Zubit, Andre Madri, Bruce Jones, Dana Christian, Reginald Brown, Nathaniel Bolden, Tommy Downs, Warren Renshaw. Terrence Strong. Nick Sims.
Well, once again, thanks to each and every one of you for your distinguished service. Thank you, Mr. Cato and Mr. Francis, for preparing that for us. We now turn to the report of the Planning and Development and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Albert.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. We have a number of action items to be approved today. The Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee met on June 11, 2009, and there are four specific actions that we're requesting approval of. The first is the approval of easement rights lease at the Shaw Howard University Station. The staff brought before our committee the approval of a lease to Broadcast Center Partners LLC, an option to purchase various easement rights from Metro at the Shaw Howard University Metro Station North entrance. The committee recommends approval, and I move approval of this request.
Sorry, it's been moved, and is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. That motion is approved. Mr. Albert?
The second is the approval to hold a public hearing for the Sindabad Road bus garage. Again, Metro staff sought our concurrence to approve the conduct of a public hearing for this new bus facility. The committee approves this recommendation. I move approval.
Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Albert?
Our third action is the authorization to negotiate and execute an MOU with Montgomery County for the Wheaton redevelopment. This MOU would include Metro properties at the Wheaton station, and through this MOU provide the basic ground rules on the which the Metro property will be included. I move approval.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it.
Great.
Mr. Albert.
Finally, our bus facilities plan. We've had a number of conversations about this facility plan, and the staff brought before the committee specific items that they would like to approve. One is to initiate a contract for the demolition and site cleanup of DC Village site. once the site action is finalized. Two, to issue a solicitation to the private development community for a replacement, joint development, or other proposals with the intent of relocating bus operation from the northern facility. Three, for the general manager to develop a long-range plan for bus facilities to meet the needs for rehabilitation, replacement, and bus service expansion. And four, for the general manager to provide a request for resources to accomplish the task identified herein and with the bus facility plan. If you're following along with the script, there's one other item that we approved. That was the Cinder Bay Road action for the public hearing, which is also part of the bus facilities plan. So I move approval of these actions.
Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Discussion, Mr. Benjamin.
May I just have a clarification, Mr. Albert? You're saying that the item which we already approved, the Cinder Bed Road public hearing, is deleted from the action we're taking now?
It is deleted from the action we're taking.
And is that the case in the resolution that we now have?
It's not the case in the resolution. That's why I made the comment at the end.
So it's a change that you made in the process of moving.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I did have a question also on the fact that the first one that you are moving, it's a little bit different from the way we originally saw it was originally initiate an award. It's now initiate only, but typically when we have something that spends money, there's a funding impact statement, and this one just says that no funding actions are being requested until the contract is awarded. That's a very unusual statement, and I just wanted to note that I feel uncomfortable when we do an initiate and we don't have the funding impact given to us at that time.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Wait a minute. Let me turn mine off.
Oh, okay. Further discussion?
I just want to point out that the resolution before you has those changes already incorporated. It should be a blue sheet.
So it
is the correct one.
Are you saying the Cinder Bed Road bus
facility plan resolution is corrected?
But it does not have the funding impact statement.
That's correct.
Okay.
In the bus facility plan is the blue document.
The resolution is fixed with the EIS.
Here we have motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve, and it has been seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Mr. Albert?
There are no further actions from this committee.
Thank you very much. And we now turn to the Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin?
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Our first action is a reimbursable project for $4 million, just slightly over $4 million, the cost of which will be paid by Arlington and Fairfax counties for the Columbia Pike Streetcar Environmental Planning and Preliminary Engineering. I move approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Mr. Benjamin, the motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin?
Our second item is a very significant one, and one on which we put enormous amounts of effort all year long and much, much careful thought and much public involvement. It is a very important step for us because without this, we don't operate starting July 1st. And so I do want to just note that there are changes in this package before you. One of those appears to be that the Metro Matters debt service number has changed in a couple of places. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's one of those. Another one is that an item that was included in the plan of contracts has then been dropped. And so this is back to the form in which it was actually brought out of committee, which is good. And the final one is that there is an action which we are going to be asked to take. It's the last administrative action. That action would effectively override the inclusion of the insurance in this plan of contracts because it essentially says you can award that at whatever the price is. Therefore, I'm just suggesting at this point, as part of the motion, that we delete that from here and make it the action that we take at the end in the administrative actions. Just to note what we are approving here, we're approving a $2.1 billion item. The operating portion is $1.4 billion. The capital portion is $0.7 billion. And what's really important is out of this $2.1 billion, half of it is coming as contributions from our local jurisdictions. We are contributing about $1 billion to the $2 billion budget that we are about to approve. That is a significant stretch by all of these local jurisdictions. It's a major commitment of resources and support to this organization. I just wanted to note that that's a very, very special thing for them to be doing at a time when their tax revenues are down and where they're struggling to meet all the various needs. And it's a very strong statement of the support that this region has, that the leaders of this region have, and the importance that they place upon Washington Metro. Ms. Kissel, do you have a comment about that one item where I just said do the insurance as part of?
That's a no.
No, I don't. I'm fine with that. Thank you.
If that's the case, then I, with the change that I suggested, I move this item.
Second. It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin and seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion? 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 Mr. Zimmerman?
There's one small item that I asked about a number of times and I may have missed it, but the information was to have been provided during advertising revenue and the budget for customer improvements that are supposed to be dedicated as a result of those revenues.
Let me ask Sarah Wilson. I do believe that we did give a response, I thought. This is concerning the monies, additional monies for advertising.
We use those monies for customer programs.
Yes, that's just to refresh people. It's been a policy since we went with additional advertising several years ago that we would dedicate revenues to a range of customer improvements. The first one of which, of course, was the restoration of the trash cans, and we had to go to those explosive-resistant or containment, whatever they're called, trash cans to obviously improve the cleanliness of the systems. But there are a whole range of things that needed to be done, and this was essentially supposed to have its own budget based on that revenue.
So we've been working with our planning maintenance folks to develop some new signs. There's been a lot of kind of cats and dogs, I guess you would say. So lots of signage, some with elevator and escalator. You see all kinds of new signage coming through the system now. We also, on the next bus signs that came through, there's that kind of outreach there that we're doing as well. There was, I think it was 120 new recycling containers that we installed on platforms. For a long time, we didn't have anything on the platforms. Then we had some, and now we've had more. So it's kind of a mixed bag of things that we're using.
Okay, and this all sounds appropriate, but what I'm really looking for is the piece of paper that says, we raise X million dollars, and we're spending it on these. Here's our program. Here's the things we get to spend it on. I mean,
it's
the budget we're approving. So
we can get that.
Well, that'd be nice. It would have been nicer if it had been here at the time that we're voting on the budget, which is why I'd asked for it in advance of this more than once. It's a small item, but on the other hand, it's something that directly touches our customers. And, of course, it's directly related in the trade-off between, you know, more advertising being allowed, which a lot of people viewed as a detriment to customers, and ensuring that it, in fact, serves to help provide something that offsets that in one way or another, improves the environment for customers. And that's why the board gave that direction. And if we don't see it accounted for, then we can't say that, you know, that's being followed through on. So, Mr. Cato, I just ask, you know, when can we see that, what seems to me a fairly simple accounting of a small part of the budget?
You're right, and that is something we failed to do. We will get that out this afternoon, send it to all members of the board.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The FY 2010 budget is approved. Mr. Benjamin?
Our next item relates to the 2010 budget. Part of our discussion just now was a plan of contracts. The idea here is that for the plan of contracts to provide the general manager with authority to carry out those contracts in a more streamlined fashion. And consistent with that, it's necessary to change the procurement regulations. And it is those and the delegations that the board gives for procurements. That is what is before us now. Now, when this went through committee, we had a discussion about sole source contracting, and we very specifically asked that that not be part of what moves to the board. The resolution or the motion that was made in committee specifically stripped the sole source out so that we had a chance to continue discussion on that item, and we asked that the JCC be consulted on it and that we come back and discuss it more substantially ourselves. I do know that a conference call was held with the JCC, but it was not the full JCC, and I know, for instance, that no staff member from the state of Maryland nor the Montgomery County staff member participated, and I suspect many others didn't. And we as a group haven't had a chance to participate in that. So I am moving this item, but deleting, as we did in the committee action, the provision for sole sources, and asking that we bring that back to committee, just that one item, and after we've had a full chance to discuss the item on sole source, that we at that point, when we find the appropriate structure for that, that we put that back in here. I will also note that a memorandum did come from the general manager, which did talk about some provisions that he would suggest. That's the kind of thing I think we want to discuss in committee, and then we can add that back in. So my motion is to approve this, but do not include the adjustments for sole source.
It's been moved. Is there a second? Second? Seconded by Ms. Hewlett. Discussion, Mr. Albert.
I totally follow where Mr. Benjamin is going on this, and my understanding that the district was represented at the JCC, at the JCC's conversation on the sole source issue, and we felt comfortable. I'm all for the board exercising its checks and balances with the general manager and his team, but I feel a sense of urgency here, and I'm just trying to figure out how we achieve that balance. So should we give the general manager and his staff direction to try to convene the full JCC one final time, and if they fail to do it, bring forward the action? Or should we just wait until we can have a full JCC whenever that happens? Because from what I heard, Mr. Benjamin, your objective is not to this moving forward, but hasn't had the input of the full JCC.
Mr. Benjamin?
Mr. Albert, that is part of it, but really the most important part of it is I think the conditions which the general manager suggested, the threshold values, how we go about delegating this authority is something that the board ought to consider thoughtfully and carefully. And it's that discussion that I'm most interested in. I would love to see this come back to the July session of the Finance Committee for us to be able to have those discussions. I do hope that between now and then it might be possible to get the JCC, but certainly between now and when we have to act on it finally about a month from now, have them have their input. But that's, in my mind, secondary to us carrying out our fiduciary responsibility to thoughtfully deal with the issue of sole source contracts. I would note that the way this is worded, it essentially not only ties to, and I suspect this is not the intent of staff, but the way it's worded, it appears to me to tie not only to those contracts that are in the plan of contracts, but to all sole source contracts. And we may not wish to go quite that way. So I'd like this to be slightly more deliberate. In the interim, if there is an emergency need that the general manager has, he always has emergency contracting authority.
Further discussion? Further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes have it, and the motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
Our final item is for Metro Access. We had a very full discussion of the rising ridership and metro access and our need to provide that service. The budget, the 2010 budget that we just approved, and has $90 million for contracting for metro access, and there is an estimate that another $100 million would be required in 2011 and subject to the budget approval there. What this action does is provide the contracting capacity, the contracting authority for the service that is being provided. So I move this action at $190 million subject to approval of the 2011 budget for a portion of it.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Mr. Benjamin.
This concludes our report.
Thank you very much. And now we proceed to the report of the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, the committee met this morning and had a very comprehensive discussion of issues relating to this week, as well as next week's impending redeployment of NextBus. But we have one action item to bring forward, and that's the conclusion of committee action on the retail service demonstration program, which had been heard previously and deferred with additional instruction to staff. The committee recommends approval of the issuance of a request for proposal for a three-year retail demonstration program with 5 one-year options and a minimum of, well, I'm not sure the wording I have here is right. I believe what we did was open it to potentially 86 stations with the understanding that we're not actually going to be doing 86 stations, but that the manager will determine some subset, which might be a dozen, or it might be 10, or it might be 15. The manager would be given some discretion in that to determine what could effectively be handled. We also added a couple of conditions in the approval. One is that the criteria that is used for evaluations of which ones this would be started at would include consideration of the external station environment, so that part of what would be considered would be what alternatives people have now, and therefore how important it would be for a particular station. And secondly, that there would be limitations in place so that no one entity couldn't grab a disproportionate share. We had much discussion, but we did not put a number on that either. Again, trusting the general manager will develop some kind of criteria that makes sense, of which we will be advised. With that, the committee recommended approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move approval by the board.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion? Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr.
And the
Chairman.
Motion is approved. Thank you very much, Mr. Zimmerman.
Report.
Now we will proceed to our administrative items, of which there are a total of 5. Is there a motion to approve the items in block?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Benjamin.
I move items 1 through 4. I'd like to have a discussion on item 5, please.
Okay, it's been moved to approve items 1 through 4 by Mr. Benjamin, seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Items 1 through 4 are approved. Item number 5 is the remaining item. Mr. Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 5 is the one that I referred to earlier. It has to do with the fact that we do need to renew our insurance by the end of this month. Is that correct, Ms. Kissel? Okay. By the end of this month, and because of the activities that occurred earlier this week, the accident that we had, the rates are somewhat in flux. And I presume at this point we do not have a rate, or do we?
We were going to exercise our option, which we have under the insurance program. But as a result of the incident on Monday, those pricing premiums will change, which is really what we're negotiating currently.
So we're saying at this point we really do not know the dollar number at which we will renew, and so we could not include it in the plan of contracts. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So what the staff has asked for essentially is the right to approve at whatever the cost may be. And that's what this action does. The only change I would suggest in this action, since I think we have no choice but to get the insurance renewal, is this one is written so that we give unlimited authority forever. and I don't think that was the intent of staff. And I would like this just to be limited to the 2010 insurance renewal. So with the wording change that would limit it to the 2010 insurance renewal, I would move this item.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Second. Seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the item number 5 is approved. We now proceed to our reports. The District of Columbia, Mr. Albert.
No report, sir.
Maryland, Mr. Linton.
You are. I'm sorry?
You're listed, Chief.
Yes. No report from Maryland, Mr. Chairman. We had recently had an election, and we have a new chairman of the Washington Suburban, and that's Mr. Solomon, who's not present today, but on his behalf, I would say we have a person.
Thank you very much. From the Commonwealth of Virginia, Mrs. Hutchins.
I have no report.
No report.
Mr. Chairman?
Then,
I would like to mention one thing.
Are you adding to the report of Mrs. Hudson's?
Well, I'm not sure that it falls into any specific jurisdiction. It's actually more on all three and regional. And I do think it should be noted that yesterday in this city, there was a bus conference that was sponsored by the Transportation Planning Board and the FTA, in which WMATA took a big part, and staff members from this agency were involved in putting it together and involved people from all around the region in the three jurisdictions and transportation departments from around the area. And it was aimed at looking forward to what may happen in this region and what we can do and what we can learn from other places. There were presentations, for instance, on BRT systems that have been implemented in other places, and a variety of things that we have been talking about doing here, particularly with Metro's development of the regional bus priority network. Including things like bus on shoulder and priority treatments and all that kind of thing. Mr. Monomay spoke on behalf of Mr. Cato. Mr. Bodigheimer was involved in one of the panels, and a number of WMATA staff were involved. It was very well attended from the beginning to the end, and I hope it will help us move to the next step in bringing the region together on something that is vitally important to transportation in this area, and I think the importance is underscored this week, especially. But that will require cooperation, because it's not something that this agency can do by on its own. So I wanted to say thank you to WMATA staff in particular, who were involved in making this possible and are continuing to work in this area, and to commend to your attention all that may come out as a result of that discussion yesterday.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benjamin. I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss personnel matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman Numeral 6C and contractual matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman Numeral 6D. We will convene an open session of the board following the executive session to act upon any item discussed in executive session should that be necessary. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. And we now stand in, are we standing in recess?
We
stand in recess on the possibility of reconvening at the end of our executive session. Thank you all very much.